For our Old Testament reading, we read Psalm 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that they are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honour. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Then turning to the New Testament, we read from Colossians chapter 2, commencing at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come in fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you are circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We enjoyed a few days away last week on a trip to Berlin. And whilst there, visited a museum to the Berlin Wall. Perhaps of all the recent TV history events, the fall of the Berlin Wall was perhaps the most powerful and inspiring. Incidentally, isn't it just the way of the world that we see things now as they happen? Previous generations would have had to wait for a newspaper to come out a bit later on, or before that, presumably, people might not have heard anything at all. But the Berlin Wall came down before our very eyes on live television in November 1989. Well, it began then, although, so we gathered from the museum, it took several years for it to be completely demolished. Perhaps you remember the scenes. Euphoria, as East German citizens clambered onto the top of the wall and were greeted by West German citizens. As fear melted away, border guards hugged the very people they had hours before been threatening with guns. And in that moment of euphoria and freedom, the future lay uncharted before these people, and anything seemed possible. Only a few years after the Berlin Wall came down and the Iron Curtain across Europe, we made a trip across Europe to Poland, to Auschwitz. That's another story. But before we got as far as Auschwitz, we stopped in Prague, and I remember the atmosphere. For decades, Prague had been under the heel of oppression. You remember the Prague Spring and then the rolling of the Russian tanks. But when we visited, it was still basking in its new freedom. There were street musicians everywhere. There were new shops opening on every corner. There was art all over the place. There was a tremendously happy atmosphere. We saw a man dancing in the street. And something else. On the outskirts of Wenceslas Square, a new McDonald's sign. And not far from that, signs for Prada and Gucci and Armani. And everywhere there seemed to be little groups of security guards in dark glasses, and there were fake products on sale at knockdown prices. And this was just the start. In all the years since, Russian oligarchs making billions out of formerly state-owned enterprises, skyscrapers rising in Dubai and Malaysia and Beijing, communist China growing economically like Topsy, brutal oppression of the Arab Spring, terrorism spreading round the world like a virus, homelessness, famine in East Africa now, fake news. Fantastic and terrible at the same time. In all the euphoria of newfound freedom in Berlin in 1989, oh, that the words of Colossians had been heard. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe. Words spoken to the newly free, to people emerging from years of captivity to superstition and fear, people emerging into the new life and light and freedom and fullness of Christ. In some ways, the words of Colossians aren't really for us in our situation. We are, let's be frank, a little long in the faith, established in the ways of our religion. However it began for us individually, either at a baptism or in a moment of euphoria or a slow dawning realization of the presence of God in our lives, the fact is that in the 21st century in Western Europe, the church is long in the tooth. Just as many of the adherents of some of its churches, at least, are a little long in the faith. We have had centuries to reflect on the meaning of Christ. There are literally acres of books that have been written all about what it means, millions of sermons preached. Our task, it seems increasingly, is to keep going. At the recent Baptist ministers' conference for this year, we all, every single one of us, got prayed for individually at the closing communion service. And when it came to my turn, well, I'm not sure whether it's because I'm a little long in the tooth or otherwise, I'm not sure, but I don't remember much of what was said, but I do remember repeated in the prayer the word perseverance. Persevere. Maybe that's what our weekly worship is for, to help us to persevere from week to week. Rachel has a motto on her Facebook page. Some of you will no doubt have seen it. Never, ever give up. Amen. But that's not Colossians. Colossae was a young church. All the New Testament letters were written to young churches. I imagine those churches were filled with bright-eyed folk. I refuse to believe they were all young folk. You are, as they say, as young as you feel. The letter to the Colossians was written to the baptized. Today we heard about the baptism of Jesus dying to the old and rising to the new, a new start, a moment of euphoria. Jesus baptized in the Jordan by John, and John saying, it's not really for me to do that to you, and Jesus saying, well, it is. It's proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. It was proper for Jesus to experience what God holds out to us all, a new beginning. Coming up out of the waters, having received Christ as Lord. As for us, so for Jesus, ever old, ever new, from time immemorial to time everlasting. But the moment of baptism, starting with Christ, the joyful, euphoric moment, filled with the fullness of God, facing a bright, promising, uncharted future, is also a dangerous moment. East Germans and West Germans embracing, celebrating long into the night, tears streaming down their cheeks. Like the crowds who danced in the streets of London on VE Day in the previous generation. Like parents looking into the shining eyes, into the face of their newborn baby with shining eyes. Like the baptized coming up out of the waters of baptism, like worshippers, week by week, newly meeting with the risen Christ. The joyful, euphoric moment is also a dangerous moment. The future is uncharted. Nothing can stop you Freedom is ours. We can go anywhere. We can do anything. Like the car and the perfume and the drink advertisements on the television, we are transformed. We are living beyond limits. We are untrammeled, unrestricted, unencumbered, beautiful, strong, attractive, prosperous, gorgeous, ageless, tireless, stressless, weightless, worry-free, arthritis-free, mortgage-free. Human life, surely, as it was meant to be? The most powerful, wonderful, euphoric moment. See to it that no one takes you captive, says the letter to the Colossians. The future stretches before us, free and without limit. Do not let anyone condemn you, says the letter to the Colossians. You can do anything, you can go anywhere, you can do whatever you want, be whomsoever you want to be. Do not let anyone disqualify you, says the letter to the Colossians. That's the language of the young church. It's the language, I think, of our faith at any time. It's the language of Lent. It is the language of any new beginning, any moment of freedom, any fresh start. It is the language for today. See to it that do not let. It is the language of warning and wisdom brought from out of the storehouses of God to every human being who ever dreamed of being free and found freedom, whoever died to the old and lives to the new, whoever left their sins behind and began a new life with Christ, whoever, all of us, I think. There's nothing long in the tooth about the church at all. Nothing old-fashioned, settled, nothing moribund about our faith. We don't come here just to rest, just to persevere, just to do what we've always done. Oh, we do come here for those things, but not only those things. We come here week by week to start again, to leave old things behind and take up new things, to have the failures and the mistakes and the wrong turnings of the past forgiven, to be set free once again in Christ. This is the moment of freedom, of euphoria, of possibility, when we find ourselves once again come to fullness in Christ. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe. Let's not bother about the technical meaning of all those things, but look for a moment at what has happened since the Berlin Wall came down. Some have prospered, but millions have gone to the wall. Homeless people lie alongside tourist sections of the Berlin Wall that remain. Refugees flood out of bombed cities in the Middle East. Famine once again stalks Africa, and everywhere the rich grow richer while the poor go to the wall. Now I ask you, was this what freedom was for? When they looked out with shining eyes on an uncharted future from the top of the Berlin Wall, was this what they had in mind? Maybe not. But the philosophies of human greed are strong. The deceit of human self-fulfillment is powerful. The human traditions, the elemental spirits in Colossians, the powers that drag us down into nightmares of destruction and death-dealing and dividing, the powers that, with the benefit of hindsight, we might say led to the wall being built in the first place, continue to ravage their way through the lives of human beings. There is much talk of walls today. Divisions abound. Greed runs riot in human affairs. And the vision, so well expressed in Psalm 8, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, yet you have made them just a little lower than God? The vision that we in our glory and shame are capable of such things, only a little lower than God, that vision has everywhere to be discovered and rediscovered and proclaimed and lived for afresh. And for the sake of that vision, our task in Lent, we who may have been baptized, we who have heard of Christ and put our faith in him, we who come here to start again afresh every week, our task is, as it says in Colossians, to hold fast to the head, from whom the whole body, the whole of humanity, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. Before our prayer.